He'd be like, man, pray that prayer. I didn't teach you that. Matthew 28 from verse 18, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. I told her something on Thursday. I said, if you watch what Jesus said, why did Matthew focus on the make disciples, right? Matthew said the same, oh, preach the gospel, which is the entrance into discipleship, right? Now, I told us on Thursday, I said, this forms the assignment of man. Okay, the assignment of man is to preach the gospel. So that means, I told you that this assignment, this decision is not a decision that you make alongside your earthly decision, no. Your whole life, what you want to be, what you want to achieve, must be around this divine assignment. Amen. Okay, that's it. Was that what I said on Thursday? You must make sure the Bible or this mandate, this assignment that God has given to us as believers is not secondary in your life. Hallelujah. So we said that on Thursday. That was for Thursday. But we'll have a different emphasis today. Now we said Mark will focus on his entrance into discipleship, right? He says, go therefore, preach the gospel. He says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, verse 4, verse 16. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues, right? They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not harm them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Hallelujah. So that is the entrance into discipleship. Hallelujah. That means for a man to be a disciple, he would have to believe the gospel when preached. Hallelujah. But then Luke repeat that, and I call the gospel of repentance. Luke 24, verse 46. It says, what for Christ to suffer and to enter into his glory. Right? And that repentance and remission of sins be preached. Do you see that? So that means we look at our word repentance, right? To change one's mind, to see Christ from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Repentance and remission of the repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. So that means when a man believes the gospel, he is saved. Now to be saved means your sins are forgiven. Now put that side by side with John chapter 14, from verse 16. Jesus says, I'll pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I told you to have divine speed. Even the spirit of truth. Did you see that? The spirit of truth. So that means, in verse 20, it says, in that day you will know, in verse 23, saying that day you will know, I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Did you see that? So that means, what am I doing? What are you saying there? It's making you see that when a man believes the gospel, he is saved. So the same means your sins are forgiven you. That means you have the Holy Ghost. So that means, when a man has the Holy Spirit, that is him being saved. The Holy Ghost is the forgiveness of sin. Hope you are following me. It's not a different experience. It's a one-time experience that we're explaining. Hallelujah. That experience of you receiving the Holy Ghost is salvation. And that salvation is that your sins are forgiven you. Hallelujah. So these are packages in what you have received, which is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at how Paul will put it in Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3. He says, blessed be God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Now it says, according as he has chosen us before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to his good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption
through his blood. What is the blood?
The Spirit, right? Through his blood, we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Did you see that? Hallelujah. How are you going to do it? The forgiveness of sins.
So that's what we have. Hallelujah. Wherein he had abounded towards us all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in all, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be unto the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom we have trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Amen.
Hallelujah. You see that? Hallelujah. What have we received? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. He said, that is the blood which is the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Amen. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very vital. So we began looking at the word in Matthew 28, teaching them, right?
Teaching them. Now let's take a few things we said in the previous section. This is the fourth section, right? Right?
Yeah, this is the fourth section.
In previous section, we said a good teacher is not a good student, right? A good teacher is a good student. Jesus is called a good teacher. And before he became a good teacher, he was seen as a student. Luke chapter 2. He had the custom in Luke 4 verse 16 of going into the synagogue. The synagogue is where they are taught, just like we have the church today. So he has that custom of going to the synagogue. He doesn't have the custom of missing church, of missing studies, or coming late. He goes and he has the custom of going to learn the gospel, to learn the scriptures. So that means Jesus is God, right? We're going to see that shortly. Jesus is God. Yes, he didn't come and say, I'm God now, I know everything. He subjected himself to how he had put the principles of Genesis. Did you see that? Right from that. That is the principle. You have to be taught. Hallelujah. You have to be taught to read what you have been taught. Glory to God. Amen. So that's why you get wary of people that say things like, how we have the, when did you get born again? Where did you serve? Where did you serve God? Where did you serve? He said, no, I got born again in my mother's womb. I'm a prophet from my mother's womb. Run away from such people. Amen. We must see that. What goes to what you have here explained scriptures? You refer that and say, no, this scripture God showed me in a vision is not true. Amen. It's not true. Watch the explanation of the scriptures. You will run. God. Even God. Doesn't mean God does not understand English. Because it's already explained. Hallelujah. So be careful of people that they didn't know they got called from their mother's womb. Come on now. So where man the place of any man being Christ is a new creation. No, I got born again in my mother's womb. Keep short. Stop talking nonsense. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. That's nonsense talk. Don't say that.
Even Jesus Christ had to be taught. Hallelujah. So we said a good student is a good reader, right? And a good listener. So you must listen well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very vital. Very, very vital. So we began looking at Jesus' mode of teaching.
Matthew 7 verse 28. I'm trying to be a bit fast,
because we're getting into some other very serious matters today. Matthew 7:28. It says, and he kept the power. When he had ended this saying, that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes.
You see that? They were astonished at his doctrine. The word doctrine is the word teaching. That's the word didache. Didache. Didache means mode of explanation. So Jesus had a mode of explanation that was different from that of the Pharisees. In Matthew 16, he warned his disciples from verse 6, he told them to beware of the leading of the Pharisees. He told them to beware of the leading of the Pharisees. So that when you use the word living there, we say the word living there means what? Living there is used for what is corrupt, right? What is not good. So it says, don't have to be aware of the mode of explanation of the Pharisees. He called it corrupt, wrong. Hallelujah. So we have to investigate how many Pharisees teach that is different from what how Jesus taught. We say Jesus will start from the Genesis, right? Jesus will start from the Genesis. So we say Jesus is Didache, you will find his anagnos code, you will find anagnos code there. But it will start from the Genesis. He will read in detail. Did you see that?
So Jesus is, or you say anagnosko is part of Jesus' didache. He will read carefully. In Matthew 19, they came to meet him and they asked him, is it good for a man to put away his wife for any cause? That is Deuteronomy.
When Moses gave them a deal of divorcement, and Jesus said, have you not read? He that made them at the beginning, he took them back again to Genesis. Did you see that? So you have to read from the Genesis. Something else we saw in Matthew chapter 12.
Quickly, go back to Matthew 12. They came to meet him and told him that his disciples were desecrating the Sabbath.
They said, well, do you want us not lawful to be done on the Sabbath day? And Jesus, knowing the fact that Sabbath day was a symbol, do you see that? He looked at them and said, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, how he entered into the holiest of all, and Esau was not lawful to be eaten. And like I told you last week, Jesus wasn't promoting his discipline. No. But he was only pointing their attention to the fact that they were not detailed in their study. And went down to look at Psalm 78. Right? I will open my mouth in a parable. And I will offer the dark things of old. Psalm 78 verse 2. Did you see that? I will offer the dark things of old. That is the word parables there. Parables there is the, I mean, parables there is the word for
Proverbs. Did you see me? It's the word for Proverbs. Proverbs. Now he says, and that is also we have the word that sense, chida, which is used for reduce.
You put figurative expressions. Now we said if we go back to scripture, you'll see that illustrations were used a lot. And those illustrations, you have to look at what were they pointing to. You see that? You must be careful not to use the illustrations literal. They are illustrations to point to something else. Did you see that? Amen. So we looked at two last week.
We saw the use of, the Sabbath day, right? We look at Sabbath. Sabbath was
an illustration that they knew of in Egypt. So Moses borrowed that culture. In Egypt, what they do is that they set up a day. It's called the Sabbath day. When you don't do any work, you go to worship deity. So Moses brought it and put the Sabbath day to be the last day. You see that? The Sabbath day. He told them not to do any work. And when you look at what was Moses saying? What was he teaching about? You have to go back again to the Genesis to see what happened on the last day. God rested. Did you see that? Did you see that? The last day God ended his work. So Moses now said, Moses said in Genesis 2, God hallowed it. Now listen,
open your Bible quickly to, I guess we looked at this last week, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, we saw this last week. Exodus 20 quickly. Are you there? Verse 11. It says, 6 days, the Lord made heavens and the earth, and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore he blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, sorry. Just get back to verses 8. Exodus 28. Look at it. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt I mean, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy son, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within the gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Stop. This is Genesis 2:2. Now he was writing the same audience. He was writing to the same audience that had the Genesis account. Did you see that? The same audience. Now quickly rush down to Deuteronomy. Now he's going to be writing to the audience. Okay. Deuteronomy. A slightly different audience now. Are you there? Okay, so Deuteronomy 5, sorry. Now, verses 12. Now this a different audience. Look at what he says to them. He says, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. Say, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy works, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Remember in Exodus, that audience, it took them back to the Genesis where he said the Lord did what? What did the Lord do on the Sabbath day? He rested. Right? Now watch here. He says, the Lord thy God, in it ye shall do no work, nor thy servant, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy oxen, nor thy ass, nor that this same thing you read in Exodus. Look at verse 15. And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt. Did you see that? And that the Lord thy God brought thee out hence through a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord hath commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So what was it called? So the audience in Exodus, come on, look up here. He took their mind and told them the Sabbath day is he brought in what? The Genesis account, right? The Lord rested on the Sabbath day, the seventh day. Did you see that? Listen, the seventh day, the last day. Now, to another audience, he took their mind back towards Egypt. How the Lord took them out by mighty hand. So what is he telling you about? The Sabbath day is not a specific day. The Sabbath day is actually salvation. That's what he's saying there. Hallelujah. What do you mean? It's salvation.
Hallelujah. So that means the seventh day in Genesis, where it says the Lord rested, is Moses writing God's salvation. So in God's salvation, you shall not do works. What is the work? It's not by works. Lest any man should boast. Did you see that? Hallelujah. What would you do? You only believe in God's work. And what is God's work? Heaven and earth. Did you see that? Yeah? Okay, following me. Heaven and earth. So you have to see. So the Sabbath day was an illustration for God's salvation. Amen. God's salvation. It's not this, it's not Saturday, it's not Monday, it's not Sunday. It's not Friday. It's not Tuesday. It's not a specific day. It's the whole of the believer's life in Christ. Hallelujah. So now we say am I supposed to get internalized? Is it this issue? Okay, this issue is going now. Right? Is that a teaching for now?
The teaching for now.
I told you, eternal life is the word reign of the Messiah. So, can we say Sabbath day is eternal life? Eh? Can we say that? Can we say that? Okay. Okay, we're going to look at that
more. Don't worry. Amen. Amen. Sometimes when you guys give me a response like this, you just say, Pastor, you are going too fast. Calm down. Much break. Amen. So
you must know how illustrations are used. Hallelujah. Illustrations. So we went ahead to look at serpent. Serpent. When you hear serpent, and you're thinking it's snake. No, we looked at that, right? So look at what it was used to point to. Right? Did you see that? Point to. So we said Moses carried the serpent
and a brazen serpent and put on it to show judgment for the serpent, right?
Hallelujah. And what, who will be the serpent?
The devil is there. Hallelujah. Okay, following that.
Okay, so we also find the tabernacle, the same thing. They are pointers to the real thing. So you have to find, ask yourself, what does it point to? We looked at the word rock, right? So we said, ask yourself what was said around it. Hallelujah. Amen. So we also said that they also had signs, miracles, signs and wonders. And those miracles, signs and wonders are pointers to what? Facts of the gospel. Was that what we said? So you must know how to use miracles, signs and wonders. Miracles, signs and wonders will be actual signs in the physical, in the earth, right? They will be actual wonders. Miracles and signs will be actual wonders in the earth. Hallelujah. But ask yourself, what does it point to? Jesus opened blind eyes. And when you open blind eyes, what did he say afterwards? Did you see that? What did he say afterwards? So that means the blind eyes there points to those who are not saved, they are actually blind. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Okay. So we also saw that Jesus told them to tell no one when he did the miracles. Look at Matthew quickly, chapter 9:30. Is Matthew 9:30 now? Okay, Matthew 9:30. He heals the blind and the mute. And Jesus, and their eyes were open, and Jesus strictly charged them to say, see that no man knows it. But as they departed, they spread abroad his fame. So Jesus told them, don't tell anybody. You are just healed. Go and thank God. Tell no one.
The only time he told them to go and tell people was the leper. Why did he tell the leper to go and tell people that they are healed? Was because if they don't go and show themselves to the high priest, they will not be able to enter it. You see that? So Jesus stands as he heals them and tells them, go and show yourself to NCC. You see that? Go and show yourself.
But aside that, he tells them, don't tell anybody. But the more he tells them not to tell them, they went about and said, see, Jesus healed you.
Amen. So that means in their days, in their time, Jesus gives for them to a healer. Did you see that? Healer.
He was everywhere. Look at Mark. I love how Mark put it. Mark 7. The same account. Mark 7 verses 36. The same account. Mark 7 36. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much more a great deed they published it. Isn't that very, 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 very funny people? Just don't tell anybody. And you're telling people.
Hallelujah.
So they had Jesus' gist in town. But to his disciples, he saw them in Matthew 17. Something I want to show you. Matthew 17, when they saw him at the Mount of Transfiguration, in verses 8, at the Mount of Transfiguration, when his appearance was changed. First of all, they saw Elijah and Moses, and then his appearance was changed. They saw it at verse 8, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Did you see that? Then the Son of Man be risen from the dead. And they tell to no one.
Hallelujah.
But you see what? There's something you're going to see. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, why did he tell them to tell no one? We're going to see that now. Hallelujah. But take note. In that Matthew 17, his disciples didn't really understand the import of that Mount of Transfiguration.
Do you understand? In fact, when they saw Moses and Elijah, why would they say, we'll build a temple for Moses? So you build three temples, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. Do you understand the meaning of it? Amen. Just like when you are speaking, and all you want to hear in church was Chelsea. What did you learn in church? Chelsea, one man. Amen.
Good.
Those of you who are laughing, may you walk alone forever.
Amen. 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 Glory to God. They don't understand the import of this. But in the resurrection,
when you now get to 2 Timothy 1:17, you see how Peter now put that same account. Nobody spoke about it till after the resurrection. So when Peter was writing about it, you see that he wrote it from a scripture explained.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Because now they now understood what the meaning of that writing is, or of that vision was. They now understood it. Hallelujah. Amen. So that means when Jesus told them not to say
miracles, it's because there's a way he wants his miracles to be told. There's a way miracles should be explained from scriptures. Hallelujah. Not a gist. No. Because though they are wonders in the physical realm, in the earth, they are yet pointer. What do you call a sign? You are going to GT Bank and you see a sign telling you, pointing you, GT Bank is that way. Will you come and stay with a sign and say, hey, this is GT Bank? No! There's a sign pointing you to GT Bank. So that means the signage is not GT Bank. GT Bank is not the sign is pointing you to. Amen. So that is how signs are. That's how miracles are. Though they are physical, they are actually wonders in the air. Amen. Somebody that has no eyes now have eyes. Did you see that? Someone that is deaf now can now hear. You know they are wonders in the air. Wow. Did you do any such? No, it's the power of God. Hallelujah. Yes. You should not be told as a gift. Amen. Amen.
They come and give testimony.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
The Bible says we overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony.
Before I give my testimony, I want you to join church. Join me to sing. Sing what?
Yeah. Come on. The word testimony there, he's not talking about testifying or saying stories of what the miracle signs and wonders. No! Amen. Then we overcame him. Watch the tenses first. The testimony is not amen.
Somebody praise the Lord with your shoulder part.
No, that's not what he's talking about.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go ahead. So, there's a way it should be told. And in the resurrection, what Jesus did, when he resurrected, now the resurrection too, is it a miracle? Was it a miracle? He died, blood and water came out, his heart was ruptured, and on the third day he rose again. So it was a miracle. Now, you know he didn't come and was telling them, come on! Look at me, touch me, no, touch me.
Woo! Jesus had this creepy. Say, yeah man, I saw. God! Don't worry,
you know? You don't even need anything, just call 911, you know? Pew!
It was Jesus, yeah, God. He's coming again. Ooh! Phew!
See my hand, see my leg!
Haha, let's go and play ball!
You know, the Chelsea fans, you know?
Amen.
He said, no, what did you do? The 40 days of money, I will have to come and be showing you all the different things they did to me. Touch my hand today, Papa. Tomorrow, touch me. No, just put your hand, you see, you touch my heart today. Are you for it?
Miracle.
No, that's not what he did.
The Bible says he taught them. So that means how Jesus explained his experience was by teaching them. And what was he used to teach them? Genesis, Tobalaka. Did you see that? That's what Jesus used to teach them. So Jesus explained his miracle, his experience by teaching them. So that is how miracles are to be explained. From the scriptures. No wonder in Acts of Apostles chapter 3. When they healed the man at the gate called Beautiful, what did they do? They said, they talked all through scriptures. Hallelujah.
where people
came around, they touched scriptures and men were saved. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. So that means at the resurrection, when Jesus touched them,
they now knew what the resurrection was really about. The resurrection was just boom, boom, boom. No, the resurrection should be taught. So they knew what resurrection is about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now they can now see the implication of miracles.
That it points to the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in Acts of Apostles chapter 5, verse 20, they say they fill the whole town.
You fill the whole town with your doctrine. Did you see that? The whole town with your doctrine.
So what do they have as doctrine? They have as doctrine the teachings of Jesus and the miracles, signs and wonders.
We're going to see that next week. Hallelujah. That miracles, signs and wonders are doctrine.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So when they do it, they explain scriptures from there.
Fill the whole town with your doctrine. Hallelujah. So let's see, let's have a few talk about the resurrection.
Now I told us we're going to look at the implication of the resurrection today. If you are sleeping, sleep on. But if you are not sleeping, make sure you don't sleep. Don't do it now.
What's the implication of the resurrection? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the resurrection in itself is the fullness of the words of the prophet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus will say they conclude on him.
So the conclusion of what they wrote was on the resurrection. And I said something to us sometime last two years, I said, the resurrection looks like, some people think the resurrection is just the climax, the end. No, resurrection is the beginning of what looks like an end. I like to say that. The beginning of what looks like an end. Amen. Because in the resurrection you have the new beginning.
Hallelujah. Let's look at what is the implication of the resurrection. Luke 24, quickly. We were here a bit last week, but we'll take it off from here. Luke 24. Jesus, from verses 13,
in verse 17, he makes two of his disciples, I'm going to run us through. He makes two of his disciples, Cleopas and his friend or his wife, going towards Emmaus. And they were having a conversation. And Jesus asked them, what kind of conversation are you having? And they said, well, as concerning Jesus, a man who is supposed to be prophet, who is supposed to be a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people.
Look at verse 20. He said, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. And we trusted that it would have been he who would have redeemed Israel. You're looking at the national redemption. Read Israel. And besides, I just was with these guys for 3.5 years.
And they're still thinking of national salvation. Wait, you mean? Amen. Glory to God.
Then you know why Jesus called them all fools and slob hearts. He's thinking of national salvation. Within Israel. Okay, let's go there. Yes, that's not a woman. Even astonished that they didn't find his body. And the guys too went there and saw it as it was. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to them, verse 25, oh fools.
You know, I love the King James, they try to be nice. They say, oh foolish ones.
It's actually, oh fools. That is, you are not using your brain. That's what it means. You are not using your mind. You are not applying your mind.
Say, oh fools, and slow hearts to believe all that the prophet has spoken.
Concerning what? Say, offer the Christ to suffer this thing and enter into his glory. So, concerning the, what conversation were they having?
Concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, right? That was what Jesus said. Isn't that the scripture? Say, offer the Christ to suffer this thing and to enter into his glory. Say, it was written where? In the scriptures, right?
Right? It says, believe all the prophets have spoken. So all the prophets will be Genesis down to Malachi. That means, he says, they would conclude, say, you will find it in all the prophets. Now, say, look at what he now did in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets,
He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Is it concerning the resurrection? Is it because concerning the resurrection? So Jesus actually went through the scriptures
and did what we will call a Christological hermeneutics of the scriptures.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he showed them how that the scriptures conclude on him, on this event. So if he was, is actually called a bias study to show them that the scriptures conclude on this. Hallelujah. Amen. Very vital. Now look at verses 31. He kept talking to them, and verse 31, he said, and their eyes were open, and he came to part of the Sabbath meat, and he took bread and blessed it, verse 30, and broke it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, didn't our heart burn within us while he talked to us by the way and opened to us the scriptures? Now they said, this was what happened to them when Jesus talked. Hallelujah.
This is what Jesus taught them. This is what happened when Jesus taught them. What happened? He said, did our heart burn within us? Did you see that? Did our heart burn? Heart burn there is not possible. It's not a secret. It's just like conviction. That word for burn there is the word for conviction. Amen.
Amen. Conviction. Did our heart burn within us? Hallelujah. Use for clarity. Clarity came to our heart. Amen. Similarly, in verses 44 into 45, he said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was here with you.
That all things must be fulfilled, who everything shall not move, this is the prophet and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened his ear, understanding the same thing. So when he told them what happened to them, he opened his ear, understanding, that they might comprehend the scripture. So the word comprehend here, or the second understanding you have in your Bible, is the word sumeni. Sunemi, S-U-N-E-M-I,
Sunemi, Sunemi, is used for how you bring event, fact, words together. Event, fact, word from different age and time together. You are able to see through the event, through the fact, through words together. Hallelujah. Amen. So when Jesus taught them for 40 days, Acts of Apostles chapter 3, so that means this event was for 40 days, Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 3, he says, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion and by many infallible proof. So being seen of them 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus taught them 40 days.
What are you hearing me? Jesus taught them 40 days.
Hallelujah. So in teaching them, hallelujah, the Bible says he opened his ear understanding.
He opened his ear understanding.
Hallelujah. So when he used the word open their understanding there, it therefore implies, which is the word used for conviction, it means when Jesus taught them together, their that word understanding, I mean, open his ear understanding will imply they became saved. They were convinced. Hallelujah. So at that point, salvation came. At that point, they got saved. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So, that means,
at the resurrection, when the gospel was taught them, or when the scripture was taught them, they were saved. They got saved. They got saved. But that, Jesus was also teaching them before now, yes. But something else happened. Jesus has resurrected. Hallelujah. Now he now taught them in the resurrection. They now believe. Why? Because the resurrection, as we are going to see, is the fulfillment of what the prophet said. So now they could now, then now they can now see through with the lenses of the resurrection. Amen. Remember, the resurrection is not an event. Though it was an event, the event of Jesus' resurrection, right, on the dead, the third day, now, but also, the resurrection is a message. It's a lens through which you cannot read what the words of the prophet, because they will conclude on that event. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. Look at what Paul will say in 1 Corinthians, quickly, chapter 15, verses 3. 1 Corinthians 15:3, quickly.
Romans 53 says, "For I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Now you find it anywhere in the Bible where it says in Genesis and Malachi where it says Jesus died for sins. No. But yet you have Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The word capital transfer. It means the summation of what the scriptures is saying is that you'll find the death of Christ. When you read together, it will conclude on the death, the burial, and the resurrection. What are you following? How did Christ die for our sins according to the scriptures? Look at what he said. He says, he was buried and rose the third day according to the scriptures. Now when I read scriptures together, I will find it there. Is it in a particular verse or in a particular book? No. As the conclusion of scriptures. Did you see that? Did you see that? Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So we'll go into more details in the coming days and the coming years. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Then is the fighter. So, where are we? So that means, now.
So that, like I said, scripture concludes on that resurrection fact.
Hallelujah.
So, what Jesus did with the disciples was to now teach from scriptures that they cannot see with the lenses of the resurrection. No wonder in John chapter 2, you know, when Jesus was talking to them and he said, "You destroy this temple and I will raise it up on the third day," they were all scared, including the disciples. They didn't understand. They didn't understand what he was saying. At all, they didn't. The time of Jesus, Hallelujah. The Bible says, when he had resurrected, they now understood that he was talking about the temple of his body.
John 2:19. Quickly. See, look at it there. That means, while he was speaking to them there, they didn't know he was talking about the temple of his body. Until the resurrection. John 2:19. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so look at verse 22, "And therefore when he was risen from the dead, the disciples remember that he had said this to them, and they believed the scriptures." And did you see that? So it was
at the resurrection that they understood the import of that word. Can you understand it then? Okay, I'm going to read it. Yeah? So that means the resurrection is a teaching. So in that teaching, they got saved. So we can say, the resurrection brought about salvation. What about salvation? I put it like this. The resurrection brought about resurrections for the man who believes. So that resurrection is his day. That resurrection is the Sabbath. Okay, brother. That is the Sabbath. Okay, brother. Now the Sabbath, is it a particular day? Is it Easter day? No.
Okay, brother. Is it Easter day? No.
What about Easter?
Sabbath is not Easter. Resurrection day is not Easter day. Resurrection is the believer's everyday life. Because the moment they man,
look at, in that resurrection, what do we receive? Resurrection. Do you see that? Whose resurrection? Those who believe. So as many that believe will be found in his resurrection. Okay, follow me. So that's what Jesus will say in that day. He didn't say in that day. So in that day, my hour has not yet come. Hour. My hour in that day. My time. Do you see that? So they are all what used to symbolize the resurrection. Okay, follow me. What used to symbolize the resurrection? In that day, which day? The resurrection. You will know I'm in the Father, you in me, and I in you. How? Forever. So that his day is forever. That his day is his reign. His day is his reign. His day is eternal life. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So that means in that resurrection, what you will have is resurrection. As many have believed, will be found in his resurrection.
Will be found where? In his resurrection.
So that, so salvation implies you will be found in his death. That's what salvation means. Salvation means you will be found where? In his day. You'll be found in his day. You'll be found in his time. You'll be found in his eye. You can say, all my years, all my days are in his day. All my days are in his eye. All my life are in his day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't be following me. All my years are in his day. They are found in his day.
My life is found in his day. Hallelujah. What is that day? Resurrection.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Look at how Paul and Peter were put it in Acts of the Apostles chapter 3. We were here
during CRC. Acts 3. Quickly. But it's 19 into 20. He said, repent therefore and be converted, that your sin being blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which is before preached to you. Now, look at it. He said, repent therefore, that your sin being blotted out, when the times of refreshing will come from the presence. The word present there is the word prospon, an appearing from the presence of the Lord. So when do we have that appearing? In the resurrection. The resurrection is that appearing. He says, times of refreshing will come. That is, we'll have our revival, our coming back alive, our resurrection in his resurrection. Paul will put it this way in Romans 6, verse 1. He says, shall we continue to sin? Shall grace not abound? Say, nay, how shall we who are dead to sin live any longer? And he says, don't you know, as many of you who are baptized into Christ, are baptized into his death. So we're buried with him in baptism. As Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, that you too should walk in newness of life. That is to say, our resurrection will be found in his own resurrection.
Hope you're following me.
That is identification. We are identified with him in his day,
in his resurrection, when we believe.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, let's see. Now, after you were
teaching them, they got saved. What did he tell them then? What happened immediately? He gave them an instruction. Go preach the gospel. Make disciples. Repentance and remission of sin be preached in his name. Hallelujah. John will put it like this. He said, whosoever things you remit, I remit it. You see that? So, in what followed salvation was an instruction to preach the gospel. Now, look at this.
See, Jesus taught them from the scriptures. It will mean that that instruction will be a pattern that will be found from the Genesis that he was teaching. So that pattern will be found from the Genesis.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Okay. So, it's a pattern you find from the Genesis. Let's get back to Genesis chapter 1. So, what is the pattern?
A man will be saved, right? A man that is saved will be given an instruction concerning the gospel. And that instruction will be through God's assignment. A man is saved to carry out God's assignment. You see that? A man is saved to carry out God's assignment.
So let's see that pattern. In Genesis chapter 1, quickly, verses 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. You see that? After our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the earth, over the cattle, and over every creature that creeps upon the surface of the earth. Now, let us make man in our image is a promissory note.
Man here will be God's promissory note of what? Of what? Mankind in itself. Is that Genesis 1:1? Right?
Is that heaven and earth?
Now, so God created man in his image. What then man there is used for humanity.
So God created man in his image. I mean, in his image after. Okay. But I mean, God created his own image. In the image of God. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he then. Hallelujah. Now look at what God did. Now, man, God's plan was for man to be in his image, right? I've told you. Adam and Eve were not created in the image of God.
Amen. Upon Jesus, I want to catch your story. Upon Jesus, they were not created in the image of God. They were created so that they would come to the image of God. Now, that I told you, Genesis 1:26 is a promissory note, God's plan. Most times, what we do is that, and we'll get there before end of the year. How to read your Bible effectively. Amen. Now, what people don't get is the fact that when you talked about Adam and Eve there, which is what I'm going to show you very soon in Genesis chapter 5. You're going to see it. But when you do what Adam and Eve there, when you do what Adam there, was referring to humanity, and it was a promise to note. God is saying he wants man to be in his image. This is that. That would be Genesis 1, when anything in God created the heavens and earth. That is also a promise to note. This is that. God wants the whole earth to be his dwelling place.
Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. So it's actually a promise to note.
Now what will God now do?
Now, listen. So when he made Adam and Eve, they were now supposed to now come into his promise to note. Hope you're going to believe. Not that they were made in the image.
We'll see all this as we go ahead.
Amen. Don't worry, you get to understand it more. Okay. So, listen. So, the man. Now, what is God saying in verse 27? So, God created man in his own image. In the meaning of God created he, male and female created him there. What does he say? He's saying you're going to find in God's image, male and female.
Is that?
What are you going to find in God's image? Man and woman. Male and female. Hope you're following me. So, look at what Adam did in verse 28. And God blessed them. Who is the them there? The men and the women you will find in his image. And said to them, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Did you see that? Multiply, be fruitful, sorry. Multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion.
Over the fish of the sea. When I hear fish of the sea, you think it's to go and catch fish and to kill goats.
No.
But talking about different kinds of men.
Hallelujah. Amen. Have dominion over them. So immediately, what do you find given to the man in his image? What do you find? Instruction. Right? Can we say the image there will be, let's put it this way, in the light of what we are reading. Let's make man in our image. How put it like this? God's plan was for man to be found in the resurrection. Would that suffice? Would that be the resurrection? Would that be? Because the image will happen by the resurrection. Right? Right? Thank you. So, the next thing you have will be what? Instruction. Did you see that? Right? The man will receive instruction. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. Verse 5. Chapter 2. Watch again. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb in the field before it grew, the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to do what? Seal the ground. Did you see that? To seal the ground. So that means the work of the man is to seal. It's not agricole, it's not farming. Seal there is something we're going to see from next week. Hallelujah. What does it mean by to seal the ground? Okay, what does it mean? Is it you now start doing young? I used to be in young farmers club when I was in primary school. Young farmers club.
And then they ask, what do you want to become? I'll tell you, farmer. But I discovered that agriculture has no bearing in this country. You are going to look for oil money. You keep talking about agri. And there's no empowerment for agri. Not enough plants. Beans. Father, I'll tell my father I want to be a farmer. When the economy of Nigeria touches your brain, your vision and your ambition will change. Amen.
I was asked from a young man and said, wanted to be a farmer. Everybody started laughing. You guys are laughing at me. I was one after I said, you guys didn't want to be a farmer. They were laughing. Seriously, they were laughing. I said, why? I said, farmer. Ha! Today, let me tell you what the guy is. The guy is a jackal man. I'm waiting to see him to ask him for that. What happened to your family ambition?
Yeah, he was very passionate. He was planting things at Lockett's one backyard. I thought they would be a farmer. Wait, wait. Glory to God. So see the grass. Look at verses 15. And the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden. To do what? To dress and to keep it. So the word to dress and keep is the same word for seed. So we're going to look at all this in the comments. So you will find that responsibility is given to the man in God's image. Did you see that? What would you find given to the man in God's image? Responsibility. Responsibility. That's what you must say. Responsibility.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's see something quickly. Like I told us, this instruction is not to every man.
To what? But the man that is in his image, right? Right?
The man in his image, the man in his garden. Take note of that. So let's ask the question. Now let's ask the question. Who is Adam? Who is Adam? Who is Adam?
Genesis chapter number 5. Who is Adam? Say, Adam is the first man in the world. Adam is... Who is Adam?
Genesis 5. Say, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Now, the word Adam there, that's what I wanted you to see, is the word in the Hebrew. If you look at it from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, the word is the word, the book of the generations of humans. You see that? So the word Adam there is talking about mankind, humans. Amen. Then, just before you run away from it, say, in the day God created man. Now that word man is the word now Adam.
Did you see that? Adam is used twice, but one is used for Adam as a man and Adam as humanity. Did you see that? Amen?
I hope you're following me. So that's why you must always read in context to know what is the writer talking about.
So the book of the generation of humanity, in the day that the Lord created Adam,
this is that? In the likeness of God made he him. Watch that. He made Adam. Adam was in the likeness of God. Mark that down. Look at verses 2. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. Did you see that? Called their name Adam in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness. And after his image, and called his name Seth. Did you see that?
Did you see that? So come back again.
Who is Adam? Adam was created in the likeness of God. Right? 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 Come back to verse 3. Adam lived 130 years, and begot a son in his own likeness. Now, he used the word son in his likeness. So that word likeness is used for son.
Did you hear that? So Seth is Adam's likeness, and he's called son. So to be a son is to be in one's likeness. So when he now says in verse 1, Adam was
in God's likeness, or man, in the day God created man, in the likeness of God, it means Adam as a person, not Adam as humanity, Adam as a person is God's son. Why? He was in the likeness of God. Who are following me? Amen. Amen. The writer of Luke, who is Luke himself, in Luke chapter 3, Luke picks that up. Luke picks up Genesis chapter 5 verse 1. In Luke 3 verse 38, quickly. Look at what Luke says. Luke 3 verse 38. Luke picks up and says, which was the son of Enos, was given the genealogy, which was the son of Seth, which is the son of Adam. Adam, which is the son of God. Do you see that? And when you use the word son of God, there is the shorthand for likeness of God. Do you see that? Adam, who is the likeness of God. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Now put that side by side. Now Adam was supposed to dress and keep the garden. Why? He is in God's likeness. He is God's son. So he has that responsibility. Right? Right? Put that side by side to 1 John chapter 3. Quickly. 1 John 3, verse 2. Quickly. Everybody, let's go to 1 John 3, 2. Are you there? Are you there? Let's read verse 2 together. 1, 2, go. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Did you see that? Let's read it together. 1, 2, go. Beloved, now are we... can't you read your Bible? Or is the Bible written in Calabash? Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Okay, continue. Hallelujah. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Put your hands there and rush down to Galatians 4 verse 6. Galatians 4 verse 6. Are you in Galatians 4? Verse 6. Let's read 1, 2, go. Some people don't know how to read in school. Let's read 1, 2, go. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying out, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So He says, ye are sons. Now are we the sons of God. Why? Galatians use the word eos and we're talking about the same. It says, now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. Sons of God. So it's a present now forever reality. It's not a past. If you say we are going to be sons of God next day, we were sons of God. We say now. Hallelujah. Present now reality. Now forever reality. Come with my grandma. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now are we the sons of God. We are not going to be tomorrow. We are. Once we are born again. We are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. How is it? It's the present now forever reality. We are His sons. We are not going to be. We are His sons. Just like Jesus. Jesus is called the Son of God. Right? Jesus is called the Son of God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when you hear, sometimes it's one of us, I'm saying to you, nobody, I'm successfully,
tackled me or Jesus being the Son of God and you had to raise the money and won me successfully even before I met Abushebi. How? How do you want to do that? Yeah. How do you want to get that? Have I met people that, yes, I have. But with all the concussion scriptures, how? Because that is the fact of my salvation. Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, God is the Father.
Yes.
Then who is the mother?
Let me answer, Pastor.
Pastor, sir.
Who is Jesus' mother?
Sure, all right.
He says Mary.
So God married Mary.
Answer.
You announced fast. It's because you don't really know. Or put it this way. It's because you are reading Son in your day. You don't read Son in your day. The same way too, when you read word in your day, you miss it, right? Right? Come on. You have to go back. What is Son in your day?
Glory
to God.
Glory
to God. And one time someone came to me and said, Jesus is not the Son of God. Jesus is not God. Jesus is not God. Jesus is not God. Jesus is prophet. And I said, who is? No, he said, no. Why did he even put it? He said, the Spirit,
the Holy Spirit is not a spirit, it's a person. I said, yes, it's a person.
This is the answer. I said, yes, it's a person. The Holy Ghost is a person. And I said, yes. And that person is who? He said, he's
Muhammad.
Wow.
How do you call that?
Wassalam. That was the last thing the guy spoke to me. I can still remember the block between S7 and S8. Inside this. On that road, beside a white car. And by my side was to see all the time I didn't have big. This is my own. I hope to find it. When I was done with it. And then
don't care.
The guy don't talk to me again. He said, come. You guys did not copy the Bible. He said, what do you mean? I said, come, I'll give you your history if you don't know. I said, see, let me tell you, what this one was on this. Your went on top of mountain. For like that chance play. That was to have a job. You can't do that, I said, see. You know the Bible. The Bible says even the spirit. I don't think in your Quran you will meet that. I said, your Quran is the key. You have to say, even now I just said, you still was laughing. I wrote that guy. You know when you are talking to someone and your voice is loud. Please, I can't do it. This one is my own me. Sacrificial love. You can't say that kind of word to one because that is the essence of my belief. There are some things you don't get to be where you get. You don't cross the line. Amen. How can you cross the line? Now tell you, now say, they will give you another means. No! There is the word another from the Greek word Alos Parakletos. In one means another means. He said, you remember what I want to teach me? If you know what heteros parakletos means, Amos! I heard the guy in this, but before he died, he didn't talk to me for years. Let's continue. There are some things you should. That's how you are taught to the word. But this day, it is today. I would have argued the way I was. Because then I was a bit angry. When it was there, today I would have taught him with the mindset of getting him saved. And I went to wash him. Okay. Now let's look at it. Amen. Amen. Now the question really you should ask is, what is the word Son? What does it mean in scripture? Now, if you remember, I want to cast your mind back to GPL 2019.
teaching.
Is this on my list? This is the thing tonight. I taught us, and I taught us something. I said, Jesus is called the Son of God because of his humanity.
Was that what I said? You could remember.
Right? So I'm going to add little flesh to that story
when we continue in the years to come.
Anyway, Jesus is called the Son of God because of his humanity. The fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us is the reason why he's called Son. Amen. Amen. I remember saying that to Ross. Okay. That is the reason why he's called Son. Then the next question you then ask is, what was he before the four Gospels? What is his name before four Gospels?
If the humanity of God made him Son of God, so what is he before the four Gospels? He's called God.
Amen.
So the four Gospels is what makes him Son.
I'm going to explore that shortly. Amen. I hope you are following me. So let's track back a bit to see how the word Son is used in scriptures. Right? Now if you go back a bit, you will discover that the word Son, let me read from my notes. The word Son is not only used in biological terms. Rather, in a greater measure, it deals with a functionality, not actually with actual being. The word Son is used more often for functions rather than actual being. So the word Son is a function. The word Son is a function. Then we have the word pastor is a function. Do you know what I mean? The word Son is a functionality. Is a function. Hallelujah. Adam is called God's son, or called the Son of God, because of Genesis chapter 1, verses 28.
It's God because of that responsibility. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. That responsibility is why he's called the Son of God. Function. Not actually actual again. This is a function. Not necessarily a woman, but be a woman. So who was the woman in Adam? Did you see that?
Amen.
Yeah. This funny question the usually would ask, very common in life, is this the egg before the chicken or the, is this the egg before the hen or the hen before the egg? Which is first?
Don't crack your head, we're in church. It's gospel, it's the scriptures. You can sort that out later on.
My father's name is my father was in the group of comments and this bless you.
Your wife eats in gum in your father's house. They will warn us.
If they give you anything to you, and should be so today, I don't really know if that was part of the text. Today. But if you eat, but come on, how can you tell me that today? You know today, if I go for an interview and you offer me something to eat, I will eat today. Ah, you can take, I will take. Okay. You don't tell a child not to think. Oh, you tell another child that. Thank you, Dad. I'm okay.
We can okay.
I'm okay.
Kill me. Amen. I'm going for a business deal before they offered me tea. Hot coffee. I said, oh, thank you. Sam, would you
organ? You can form a red suit. I cannot form. I need to see. So I can possess that.
Amen. Glory to God. Let's continue. Okay, where were we? Where were we? Okay, Adam is called Son, right? Okay, because of Genesis. Was that what I said? Okay, so like I asked you, you can't ask yourself, who is the woman that? No.
That is done because of their functionality.
Then the next thing you now ask yourself, it doesn't mean also a male child. No. Say, we are sons of audacity. We are daughters of audacity. Come on.
Come on.
I'm a king in this kingdom. I'm a queen in this kingdom. What is your problem? What is your problem? What is the definition of your problem? No. Amen. So because we now had SOA, sons of audacity, and I said, no, we want to have daughter. And you know the funny thing, in that form of audacity, there was no sister.
Was there any sister there?
Yes.
Sons of audacity, there was no sister.
And we now have the daughter of audacity. I bow for you guys.
No!
Amen! Amen! We are all sons. So it doesn't deal with the gender. That's one thing you need to know. It doesn't deal with the gender. Israel as a nation, in Exodus chapter 4, Israel as a nation is called son. Exodus 4 quickly. Are you in Exodus 4? Let's see. Verses 22. He said, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus said the Lord, Israel is my son.
So why is Israel called son? It's because of the role of Israel in the gospel. Or put the role of Israel to the whole world. Isn't that the role? We're going to deal with that in the coming days. Israel's role in the whole world. So we're going to see. And I hope to teach you that one of our believers and one of our CRC. Let me just give you. Israel in the wilderness. You know, they went through cities. They went through kingdoms. They subdued kingdoms. Those were pointers. Those were supposed to be pointers to the gospel. So they had a role to be displayed to the whole world concerning I am that I am, Yahweh. So, based on that role of Israel in the nation of the world, God called them sons. Amen? So, they were called sons because of one. And why would you know that role? You have to go back again to the covenant. This is chapter 15. Remember, go back to the covenant between God and Abraham. You will find the role of Israel to the nations of the world. Remember, amen. So based on that covenant and Israel's role in all of the nations of the world, they are called sons. Is that something else you need to see? Read further.
So can we say the word son is used for service? Right? Service. Function. Right? Okay. Now let's go for that. He said, it was my son. Even my firstborn. So that means that word firstborn there is the word bekor. Where you have the word bekora. We're going to come to that. Bekor, where you have the word bekora. Firstborn. Watch this. So that means sonship, actually the word son deals with the right of the firstborn. So remember I told you firstborn is not the first child. No. Firstborn is actually a function. We're going to see that shortly. Firstborn is a function, not actually the first child. We're going to see that. Hallelujah, not actually the first child. So, son is the same as firstborn. Isn't that? So, the word sonship is related to the right of the firstborn. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. 23. And said unto them, let my son go that they may serve me. You see that? So the functionality of sonship is service. You see that? So that they may serve me. So because of that service, they are called sons. You see that? They are called sons because of that responsibility. That service, that functionality. To serve.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope you are following me now.
Okay. Let's get back to Genesis 22. Now here is Abraham. Abraham had two sons.
Ishmael and who? And who? And who? Isaac. But you need to go to Sunday school. Israel and who? Isaac, right? Okay.
Not for Isaac. Isaac. Genesis 22 verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac.
Is there no Ishmael? Listen.
There was supposed to be Ishmael. But he didn't call Ishmael here.
Okay, he didn't call Ishmael here. He said, take now Isaac. He called Isaac his son. He called Isaac his only son.
Okay, following me. Okay, following me. So why is Isaac a non-called son? Let's go back to see why Isaac is called son and not Ishmael.
Remember, if we were talking about to born legally or literally, you would have said one of your sons, right? Right? One of your sons. You would have said one of your sons, Isaac. Or you would say Isaac, your second son. You see that? But he didn't say Isaac, your second son. He didn't say one of your sons, Isaac. He said your only son, Isaac. You see that? So let's go back to chapter 21. Verses 9.
Quickly, Genesis 21:9. It says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which was born unto Abraham, mocking. Mark that word, mocking.
He saw him doing what? Mocking.
Now that word mocking, I know my time is almost up and I'm almost done. That word mocking is the word when you find to disdain.
To disdain, mocking. Beyond the fact that he means, it means to laugh at someone. He goes beyond that. It means to disdain, to persecute. That's what it means. Now the mocking there means to persecute, to afflict. So Sarah saw that not only was Ishmael laughing at Isaac, he was also persecuting him. Now look at what
Paul now did in Galatians. Paul picks this up and then he opens it for us. That was Galatians 4. Put your hands in that Genesis chapter 21. I rush now to Galatians 4. Quickly. Galatians 4 verse 29. I need you to see this now. If you are sleeping, sleep on. Because I don't need you to miss what I'm saying. Let us just continue sleeping and be seeing Elijah and Moses. Verse 29. It says, and okay. Let's start with verse 28. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted he that was born after the spirit. Can you see that? Even so it is now. Can you see that? So that mocking there was actually persecution. Look at verse 30. Nevertheless, let's see in the scripture. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be held with the son of the free woman. Why? Because he was mocking. Persecuting.
Hope you're following me. Now that word mocking, we will not be what the writer of Hebrew will now use to qualify Esau to speak evil, to speak wrong of what? Sonship.
Amen. We'll look at all of this. Amen.
Amen. Just like Esau, I have in my notes.
He mocked and was casted out. Hallelujah. So Esau mocked and was the same thing was what happened to who? Ishmael. Ishmael mocked. He persecuted and what happened? They were casted out. So he cannot longer be the son.
Now son doesn't mean Abraham didn't legally give birth to him. Right? But it means functionality.
The question is, who
is Abraham. Genesis 20 verse 9, Abraham is God's prophet. Genesis 29, Abraham is God's prophet. So in their world, they have the right of the firstborn. It's called the Bekorah, whereby the firstborn will inherit the father's position. And Abraham, being a prophet, was also the right of the firstborn. He's supposed to go to the first child who would be a prophet. So when he heard that the son mocked, means the son disdained the office of the prophet. He mocked. So who is now the firstborn of Abraham? Isaac. Did you see that? Isaac is now called the son, the one of the promise, the one that would stand in the stead of Abraham as a prophet. So why is Isaac called son? Isaac is called son because of what? Function. Did you see that? So what would Abraham do? He took Isaac and went to teach him. Did you see that? Abraham was tested, no, was to teach him. They took Isaac for a teaching ministry and taught him. Amen. So Isaac would not be who? A prophet. Glory to God.
The same thing too in Genesis 25. Genesis 25. You now find Jacob and Esau. Genesis 25, verse 32. Esau, because of yam porridge. Is it yam porridge? Porridge yam. Is this porridge yam?
I like porridge yam, but it's not porridge yam.
Amen.
Amen.
But look at what Esau said. He said, verse 32, and Esau said, behold, I have a point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? You think birthright is chained that Esau tied in the neck? No! It's not this much. No! Birthright there is the word Bekora. The same word for first box. The same word for son. The same word for what? Service. Did you see that? You see that? Service. So, this one is saying, what is it to serve God? This can't serve. He spoke, he mocked. He said, he mocked what the best right. He mocked that of his wife. History had it that he just achieved a defeat. He did something, he killed a very strong giant in their land. Amen. So he was, what is this? He felt he now had Guinness Book of Records. His name is now there. What other thing do I want? Avenge it!
Did you see?
Amen?
And then he missed the first place so much.
Yeah? Okay, hallelujah. He missed it. Hallelujah. The most important. So what did he do? He mocked the Bekorah. He mocked the Bekorah. Did you see that? That office. That function he mocked. The writer of Hebrews, we'll get to read that, or you can read that in Hebrews 12 verse 16, he called it that. The writer of Hebrews will now qualify him. He said he spoke wrong. Hallelujah. Ill. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 16. Hallelujah. He called him a profane person. Esau being a profane. Profane means to speak death.
You don't have control over your mouth. Just talk. Just talk anyhow. And the Bible says he's forced for it to kill. So he couldn't get it anymore.
Hallelujah. Amen. So Jacob took that office
of his father, a prophet and a priest.
Amen.
So Jacob had that office from a prophet and a priest. Let's close here.
So therefore, the concept of sonship is functionality. You see that?
It's functionality. It's function.
Therefore, Jesus being called the Son of God is because of his assignment in the earth.
That assignment, the moment he took on flesh, he was to carry out an assignment, right?
Right?
To complete to carry out an assignment. that all through him might be saved. Did you see that? That all through him, that function, that is his function. So based on his assignment in the earth is why he's called Son of God.
Because of that, that's why it's called Son. There's not necessary. I mean, you don't necessarily need to have a woman there.
Say, who is God's mother?
No. It's because of that functionality that Jesus is called Son.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So therefore, as we continue into next week and the week after and the week after after and after to the end of this series. So when the scripture says we are sons, it therefore means, or it therefore confides in us responsibility, tax,
of the gospel.
The same responsibility that that
the patriarchs have, that Abraham have, Isaac have, Noah have, the same responsibility of all the nations of the earth. That responsibility is what that sonship confides on us. And we'll explore this in the coming weeks.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you a son? So anytime you hear or you say, I'm a son of God, have that responsibility or have that sense of responsibility.
Hallelujah. Of the master task in all the earth. Glory to God.
Let's be on our feet to thank the Lord.
Let's be on our feet.